You're listening to Studio 22.
This is the first time ever anywhere in the entire world that our new comic, Kane, is being mentioned, brought up, discussed, all the above.
The grand reveal.
The grand reveal. We have been working on a comic series, an epic fantasy action adventure comic series for the last eight months, I would say. And I am extremely proud of it and excited to reveal it to everybody right now, right now, live from Studio 22.
What made you want to make a comic?
Man, so obviously we're both obsessed with film. That's been our lives. We've studied it, worked in it. We love entertainment. We're both visual art. That is our medium. That is our preferred medium. And man, I've loved comics since I was a kid, like X-Men. I had all those growing up. Obviously was a huge like Avenger fan and the MCU kind of more early on, but still today. And comics are this kind of this untapped visual medium that I realized when you're working on a film, it takes 3 years to see that product. You have an idea, and then 2 to 3 years later, you get a product and you get to see it. With a comic, the artists are typically giving rough drafts and produce work back in a matter of weeks and months. And to as the writer, as a creator, I mean, that is extremely fulfilling. And to be able to track your progress like that and just kind of keep going and seeing the work inspires me to keep writing it, right? So like that instant, near instant, like gratification, you just kind of keep building on that and letting it go, letting it build, letting it flow. And you could just get more and more excited every time you see more work. And the art is beautiful. Like I'm so proud of our artists, Patrick Blaine, the penciler, Denai Ribeiro, our colorist, and Andy Owens, our inker. And then the various covers we have from Patrick and James Penland, who's a phenomenal artist. And we're getting a great group together, and this art is like top quality art.
Yeah, I remember seeing the first, even just sketches. The pencilings are the first things that we ever saw. And I remember you called me right away. You're with your family at the time, and we both were looking at them almost at the exact same time, just blown away because we had talked about the story and you'd been writing the story for months now. And to have it actualized on paper, it was like, this is exactly what I was thinking, what I envisioned. And it was brought to life in a moment. It's a very, very cool thing, man.
100%, dude. That from the idea, you know, popping off in the head to seeing that thing in your hands, like you said, that it's a pretty incredible moment each time, right? Yeah. Like the first time's probably the craziest because you're like, wow, that's it. That's what I wrote on. Those are the words on paper.
Yeah.
And then obviously for you, seeing yourself, I mean, this is another thing I wanted to ask you. What is it like seeing yourself as a comic book hero?
It's crazy, man. Yeah, like you were saying, we fell in love with the medium of filmmaking early on. It's the one thing that I turned to as a child and then into my adult life as well that I could escape into. And just if there was a good story, I would escape into it. And I always wanted to give that back by becoming an actor and becoming the, you know, leading male. Now to have it on paper in a comic book, seen actualized, and a story that I'm a part of with you and we get to discuss daily. And all the time we come up with these great ideas and so much fun. It's mind blowing. It's the same. I feel gratification as I would have it seeing it on a film. Became the action hero, but also to know the intricacies of the story. It's not just a 2 hour, sit down movie. You know, we're not just sitting down watching a movie at this point. We are going on this journey throughout this entire universe that we're expanding daily, you know, and to see myself in that space, it's like, that's what I've been working for. You know, that's what I would always hope would come to fruition. And Kane is a bad dude. Absolutely.
That is for sure.
Yeah. Tell me, or tell everyone about the story.
Absolutely. So Kane lives in a small mountain town. He works at the local mine. He hunts for his food. He lives in a cabin. He's got his setup, great life, all that. when the owner of the mining company he works at changes, his life is completely uprooted and he basically has to adapt to survive. And he will go on a journey to not only discover his own strengths, but also the mysterious family history that he will learn more and more about as time goes on.
So I want to know a little bit more about the lore. Tell me about the universe.
Absolutely. So I have about 30 issues that are currently written, and I'm writing more every day. So this universe is expansive. I mean, it is big. And there are issues on McKenna, one of our side characters, very much like a Laura Croft type, but more of a femme fatale, but still very badass. We have issues spanning all the way back to ancient Rome, ancient Greece. I mean, I really want to get the point across that this is a universe that expands throughout time, and we will follow one family lineage through ancient Rome, ancient Greece, ancient England, or old England. I don't know if it was ancient, but it was very far back. And, you know, we'll see some of the biggest spectacles in throughout the world, like the Colosseum and the Parthenon, all that good stuff. Like, we have a little bit of everything. We have characters such as Merlin. We got dark wizards. We got minotaurs. We got gorgons. We got leviathans. We got gladiators. We got all sorts of incredible characters that will reveal themselves over time throughout other issues. But this main volume is Cain in modern time, and this will be a 6-issue run. And then we have all these other stories that we really want to get to. And that's what the Indiegogo account will be for the production costs of these 30, 40, 50 issues that I'm going to write and have written, to really get this universe out there. And that's the reason we're raising money on Indiegogo, is in order to get that high quality art that we hold the comic standard to. We really want to keep working with, you know, the list of artists that we currently have, and, you know, eventually find other artists that can do spinoffs and all that. But, you know, it starts to add up quick, and we want to keep that premium level for everybody. And I want to be able to tell this giant story. I don't want to stop. Like, there is so much more to get to. Like, Cain issue 1 is 0.01%, right, of like everything we're going to tell over time. And that's really what I want to get into people's heads, is this is massive. And that's another reason I love comics, is without, you know, wouldn't be able to do that in one film, two films, or even a TV show. I mean, it would take seasons and seasons of TV shows and trilogy after trilogy of films. And with a comic, we can really get to it all in a short amount of time. Like, we're talking a year or two, 3 years, we can really get to like a lot of it, and then, you know, hopefully tell this the rest of our lives and go for, you know, decades.
Yeah, keep that universe expanding. And that's the fun thing too, is if you pick up any comic book, really, I feel like you want to be taken on a journey, and the art's a big part of it, but the story and it's the same thing with film, you know, but comics, like, I want to dive into one, and I want to dive into this world and just get taken on a ride, you know, and enjoy falling in love with the characters, the story, the lore, everything as a whole. And like you're saying, Cain in the beginning, this first issue, this first volume only scratches the surface, only to find out it spans through time. It spans through all of these defining moments in history as well. And Cain has a little part in each part of it, you know, and different versions of Cain as well. But it's a very exciting thing to be a part of. And tell me a little bit more about Cain. Like, tell me about this guy. What's he all about?
So I don't want to reveal too much, right? Because he is the hero, and part of what fans will find out is his personality and kind of his strengths and other things that come into play. But he is raised by a single mother, Satara, who, you know, you'll find out in the first couple pages in the prologue, but she is his adopted mother. and raises him to hunt, raises him to fend for himself. And there's a reason why they're kind of more secluded in the mountains. They want to stay off the radar if they can a little bit. But you know, she really teaches him how to be a badass and how to appreciate nature and how to be more mindful. I always refer to it as like Jedi training, but it's not Jedi training for copyright purposes. His main journey will be really controlling his strength. And it's more of an inner journey of how do you control those animalistic urges that you have and the id of the subconscious and working to be a better human and more mindful. And don't get me wrong, he is a great human. He's a super human. He will definitely face people that are stronger than him, if you can believe it, and more powerful, but he'll have to, you know, find ways to overcome and make partnerships with other people and unlikely allies and flashbacks of him and Satara when he was a boy that he will still kind of draw from and learn from. There's a lot to him. He's a complex character, but end of the day, he kicks ass, and we're going to see a lot of brutal, awesome action. Yeah. And he's definitely fighting for the right team, so it's good.
That's great. Tell everyone about the side characters. What do we have in store?
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned a few. Satara is kind of the mentor. She's a very strong woman and, you know, really tries to instill the best values in him. We got McKenna, who's more of a femme fatale, Lara Croft type, who kind of comes along seeking to take advantage of him a little bit, but we'll kind of see how that unfolds. And then we have Mr. Montclair, of course, the villain. You know, he has a lot of secrets that we cannot really reveal, but he is a very powerful corporation owner, and his reach spans globally, and he has infinite wealth and resources, and you know, Kane will be going up against a monster, so quite literally, so
yeah, a beast
of a villain.
Tell me about the spinoffs or the other volumes.
So one of my favorite ones is King Kane. I mean, this thing is a 14 issue fantasy epic based in ancient Greece. There's a witch queen that can transform into a dragon. There is a Gorgon, a male Gorgon, a Leviathan that's like this shark mixed with a dragon type thing. No, that's like a shark mixed with a giant eel. It's out of your nightmares. It's crazy. We have Guinevere, who is basically like a kind of like a female Robin Hood, but more kind of badass and sexy, I would say. And then we have Gladiator Kane, who is what it sounds like. I mean, he is living a very opulent life in ancient Rome, in Nero's Rome. Nero was crazy, crazy emperor. His Rome was very, very crazy. Orgies and, you know, assassinations and all that. Like, he was gnarly. So he'll kind of start off as a top gladiator in Nero's Rome, and that's where it just begins. We have Merlin and Knight Kane, Knight Kane is basically, he starts off as like a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And he will work with Merlin and a young King Arthur at the time. So it'll be Merlin training young Knight Kane with King Arthur, and they're both going to be around 12 or 15. And Kane might save King Arthur a few times when, you know, he might be a big part of why King Arthur was so big and just not take some of the credit. So they'll be battling a dark wizard among other creatures and mythological forces. It's going to get crazy.
Yeah. I think that's one of the coolest things that across the volumes, across the different stories, and across time, there's access now to so many different creatures, monsters, mythological people and just everything across the board. So it gets to touch on all these different things in different ways that I've never seen before. It's going to be a fun ride all around.
100%. And you said that perfectly, right? Like, there are no limitations on what we can and can't do because, oh, you know, that didn't exist then. Oh, well, we'll just go to that time period, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we can literally play with all the toys in the toy box and all of human history is at our disposal. And it's up to us to choose what moments in time and what themes and what locations, and to tie all of them together, obviously, because another thing I can promise the viewer is that everything will have one big overarching meaning, and there will be a connective narrative tissue that flows throughout all the volumes, all the characters, all the stories, some more than others, but there is a plan, and it'll take a while to kind of get to where they all intersect, but we will get there.
So what is Cain's connection to the gods?
That's a great question. And a lot of the powers of heroes and villains and characters in this, I won't tell you who has what, but it's a supernatural power force, right? Like all the power systems are derived from the gods. And the opening crawl of issue one basically talks about how gods tamper with their creations, and the blessed and the cursed alike will battle it out on earth, and the gods just watch from the safeties of the heavens, right? They will interfere at some times here and there, but not that often at all. And it's a very supernatural power force in the universe. I've always been fascinated with Greek mythology, as of you. And the first book, or my favorite book I ever read, was the Iliad and then the Odyssey. And there are a lot of similarities of the Odyssey and the Iliad in terms of characters that we will use and refer to. Achilles, King Lycon, King Priam, Hector, a lot of the heroes of the Trojan War on both sides, and then goddesses and gods like Athena, Zeus, obviously, kind of the main ones in the pantheon. And it will get crazy, but it's a good question because everyone kind of is derived from very similar lineages that can be traced all the way back to the Trojan War. And I was heavily inspired by Homer's classical works. And, that will show, and that will be revealed more over time. I think issue two actually gives tons of really beautifully done exposition on the backstory and kind of the ancient connections. Patrick Blaine, our penciler, and I really had this fun idea of how to do exposition in like a way that actually turns it into like action scenes. That really turns it into like action scenes, which we're really excited about.
That's never been done before.
The way we did it, I have not seen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So our lovely art team consists of Patrick Blaine, who does our pencils. Andy Owens is our inker. Denai Ribeiro is our fantastic colorer. He comes from DC and has worked a lot on Batman and Superman. Some of our cover artists, Patrick Blaine did a cover. James Penland is doing a cover, and he's fantastic. You go look him up. Obviously starring Brock O'Hearn, produced by Double Down Pictures, written and created by me, and Brock obviously as a partner in that creation. Those are the main players we have so far in issue one. I'm hoping to expand that team and keep everyone together and keep building.
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole point of wanting to create an Indiegogo, like you were saying, is it was about creating a universe that we could share with people across the board. So no matter where you pick up in the story, or where we're at creating it, there's going to be a story that's going to be engaging, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be ever expansive that people can really enjoy reading wherever they want to read it.
100%. And like, that's a good point. You can start issue one of King Cain without reading Cain and you'll be fine. Yeah. Even though they do connect and, you know, it is all one journey in one direction, you can pick up anything. And yeah, we really want to bring out all these stories, and good art is expensive. Who would have thought? We would appreciate everyone's involvement, and we'll link the Indiegogo page below And, you know, there's really fun perks on there, including being on this show with us, being flown out to LA and doing a podcast with us. There are tons of fun stuff on there. We got cover art individually by James Penland and Patrick Blaine. We got all sorts of fun stuff. So check it out.
Awesome. Why did you write this?
Man, like we kind of touched on before, I mean, I love creating. I love visual mediums and I love comic book heroes. And I really just tied all of that into my fascination with Greek mythology and reading the Odyssey and the Iliad as kids. And, you know, it's kind of this perfect storm. I was talking to my brother Hunter and he's like, man, you can literally just sit there and nerd rage and let your imagination run free as you write these things, because that's what you love. That's what you know. And I think reviewing screenplays and working in film and like understanding story structure, I mean, I couldn't have done this in my 20s because I wouldn't have had that knowledge base of everything I've learned by producing short films, feature films, commercials, even like everything, and putting that all together and like reading all those scripts and all of that. So it's really this perfect storm of like letting my imagination run wild and drawing from everything I'm inspired by and have read in the past and all that. But obviously a huge part of that is being able to work with you on this and getting that support from, you know, if I have a story question or a character question and being able to workshop with you. And that first meeting we did at Sugarfish in Santa Monica, right before we saw Spider-Man No Way Home. And very early on, a lot of people won't know this, we were workshopping with James Penland, who's one of our cover artists and a great friend. And we worked on the resort together and tons of ties in with him and Joe. But we were really workshopping the story and figuring out what we wanted to do and how he could kind of fit in. And it was right over the Christmas holiday. And James kind of just goes, just go for it. Just start writing. Just like, in order to even work together, you would need to create something, right? And I'm, as a producer, that was like the most frightening thing I could have like been told or heard. But then I just kind of went for it. And like my brother and I were talking about, just let the imagination run wild. And I wrote the first issue about 30 times. And once I figured out how I wanted to structure my writing and like get over the fear of it being bad, and it still could be bad, but we'll see. You know, just getting that structure and template down, then I was able to just keep on going.
You just went to Comic-Con for the first time and you had three issues of Kane printed out while you were there because you realized it was a great asset to have, right? What were people's reactions to the limited amount of people that you did show to? What were people's reactions? What were people's reaction to Kane?
So I did go to Comic-Con. I met tons of awesome people. I met Gary from Nerderotic, who is one of my favorite kind of comic YouTubers. He's great. He owned a comic shop in San Francisco. I hung out with that Anna, that Star Wars girl who we had on our podcast. She was nice enough to let me kind of like tag along with her and meet everyone she knew. But yeah, like Billy Tucci, who does She and has one of the top Indiegogo campaigns, met him. He was so nice and so helpful and gave me notes. Gabe Al-Tayeb, spent time with him. He gave me some notes too. And to get notes from, you know, an artist like Gabe was mind blowing to me. And I was super grateful for that. And what he is doing with the Ripperverse right now is mind boggling. So shout out to all of them. And they really helped a lot just by getting input from them, right? Like if you're any industry, if you're getting input from an expert, it's, you know, invaluable and really helps kind of shape your path as you continue to grow. But I would say I attended a lot of panels. I did crowdfunding panels. I did indie comic panels. I did fantasy character writing panels. And I would kind of wait at the doorway and show people the comic as the panelists would exit. And the reaction was phenomenal. And, you know, just the fact that I was there and I was showing people and I was getting it out there, I think was a huge help. And I learned a ton in the process, and I'm grateful to every single person that gave me notes that weekend. Yeah.
Great.
How do you think your fans will react to seeing all this incredible artwork of you?
It's been a fun journey just from me going from social media, from fitness is when I first started. And then I started really chasing my passions, which is filmmaking and acting. And there's been people from the beginning and new people now constantly coming on board and supporting me. And it's been the most humbling, but one of the most grateful and incredible experiences I think I could possibly have. And there's been support across the board. Every film I do, people will go see my TV and film stuff I've been working on lately. It's just been growing and ever expansive as well. And it's been such a fun journey. When it comes to Kane, this is a new medium for my fan base that they haven't seen me share yet. And I think that they're going to receive it incredibly. I think they're going to be big fans of it. I think it's going to introduce a new audience to comic books that maybe haven't been in that space before, which is going to be so fun and unique. And it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see as well how they receive it. But because of the support I've had over the years, there's no telling what will happen. I'll be grateful for anything really, but I think it's going to be exciting seeing these people who are out there that already want to see me do, you know, XYZ roles in TV and film. Now they get another version of it in the comic book, which is something that I am deeply passionate about, that I'm having so much fun creating with you, Will. And it's so exciting to see. And then because of that too, we're going to have so many things like, you know, signed comics and in-person meet and greets and whatever we're going to do, we're going to keep expanding it. But I'm excited to bring it to them just to see how they're going to react. But either way, I'm just grateful. And this is something that I know I love. I know that you love. We're deeply passionate about, and we're bringing it to life. You know, it's the coolest thing in the world. And so hoping it's received very well. I have a good feeling it's going to be received well, but yeah, we'll see, man. It's going to be fun. No matter what, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a long journey, and we're going to be telling this story probably for the rest of our life.
I hope so, man. And yeah. I totally agree. I think, look, obviously, like any comic book creator or company would be so lucky to have you on board. I mean, your fans are so supportive, and you know, it's really great to see. And like, I'm grateful and happy that we could do this together. And I totally agree that a lot of kind of film and television fans will kind of translate over to comics just to check it out, even if it's just curiosity. I think it'll be cool, and hopefully they'll get engaged with the story and the characters and enjoy it. But absolutely, it'll be cool.
Yeah, I think every creator wants to believe they have something special, but from an outside perspective as well, seeing what you've done with this, Will, what we've been able to create as well, I know it's special. We've been storytelling for over a decade and been in love with film since we could open our eyes, right?
Yeah.
And that passion's definitely translating over to the comic book, to what we're doing in the Kane comic universe and what we're expanding. And it's just been eye-opening. It's been fun. It's been challenging, you know, but it's exciting all around. And I think that that love of storytelling shows on paper, you know, it shows in these comics. And I think that the readers, anybody who's a fan and gets engaged with it, is going to see that as well. And it's just going to be a fun, epic adventure that we're going to take people on.
Kane will be available to purchase on our website, kanecomicuniverse.com, kanecomicuniverse.com. And we have our Indiegogo where you can purchase tons of other stuff. The link will be in the description. We'll have merchandise on our website. Tons of fun stuff.
Welcome to the Kane Comic Universe.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one. Man, that's so good to hear. I'm so excited.
Same, man. It's gonna be a good time.
Cheers.
Thank you, Sugarfish, for
Thank you, Sugar. Yay, you heard it here first on Studio 22, the Kane Comic Universe. Thanks for tuning in to Studio 22.